Welcome to another episode of Story Brick. That's some mouth sound effects for you this week.
Who's the guy? Who's the Star Wars sound effects guy?
It's got to be horrible to get famous enough, but not famous enough that people know your name, so you're just the Police Academy
Ben
guy.
Ben Burtt. Yeah, dude, just like straight up is Ben Burtt on the podcast?
This is a writer's room podcast where three Hollywood interrupting professionals have an hour to write scenes from an upcoming masterpiece, Star Wars fan fiction masterpiece, week by week, page by page, one scene at a time. My name is Freddie Wong, the mouth sound effects guy. There are no mouth sound effects in this episode, actually. We don't use that. We have real sound effects.
I'm Will Campos, and there's always a bigger fish.
Ooh.
That's
Phantom Menace. Oh, I remember.
That's the slogan for my new fish shack that I'm starting. Uncle Willie's Fish Shack.
It's the next fish album. There's always a bigger Trey Anastasio.
The Fish Supergroup, where all of the members of Fish that like have come together through time are all going to play together like a Lynyrd Skynyrd thing, and it's called There's Always a Bigger Fish.
I gave Fish a shot the other weekend. I was like, you know what? I haven't really sat down and like, because, you know, it was like there was a moment where it's like the way to experience Fish, everyone's like, you got to do the live concerts. And then I was like, okay, but, you know,
this everybody. This is Matt Arnold. Hi, everybody. This is Matt Arnold coming at you from the fringes of Hollywood, friendless, not connected in any way whatsoever.
Dang.
You're seeing my entire circle of connections with Will and Freddie here. So where they go, I go.
What was it? I don't know J.J. Abrams. I'm not weird. Don't kill children. Was that the disclaimer you're legally allowed? You're supposed to say now.
I have to say every time. Okay, Freddie, sorry, you can go ahead and finish your fish story.
Nah, it's okay. Just like all good fish stories, this one was going nowhere.
This was a long, noodly story that kind of you lost interest in after 5 minutes.
Before we get into Jar Jar, can I suggest a change to our intro instead of Hollywood professionals? Maybe just sure. Hollywood friends. I think it's like a whole entourage vibe.
Hollywood friends.
Three Hollywood friends.
It sounds like Matt is feeling a little bit down. The career ebbs and flows of Tinseltown getting him down.
I'm just saying, I haven't had a lot of checks with the word Hollywood on it in quite a while, so it's feeling hard for that professional.
Okay, man. Status. All right. You're our Hollywood professional every day of the week.
Aw, thank you.
Where last did we leave our sweet prince, our Nabooian professional, who is now the governor of Naboo. Last we checked in with old Jar Jar. He was talking with his friend Qui-Gon Jinn about betraying his other friend Croquet Seal. And so this week, I think it's Zero Dark Croquet time. Like, I think it's like, we got to figure out this next sequence is Jar Jar asserting himself in the new context and betraying his friend and getting into the Emperor's inner circle, right?
Yeah.
It may be two parts, but at the very least, step one to betraying a friend is you got to get close to your friend, which Jar Jar's not. He's cooped up in a capital city, a hated politician. Where's his leads?
Is this, I don't know. I mean, they didn't get close. It wasn't like Zero Dark 30 started with like her getting like buddy-buddy with Osama bin Laden before fighting it. I don't think this is a story about him playing two sides where like Croquet's like, oh, I think he's a good guy. Like, I feel like we're essentially almost in montage. We're like, he's going to take out Croquet or whatever. Right.
You're saying that the next cut is him standing at the edge of some swamp and pointing at something, and then a bunch of stormtroopers raid it, and he's like, mission accomplished.
I mean, maybe not exactly that.
Here are the tricks to me is how do you do this in a way that feels Jar Jar, right? Like, what is the Jar Jar way of handling this situation? Because it's on a deeper level than it being about Croquet. It's about Jar Jar's, like, sort of rising agency, right? Like, he is, Qui-Gon's been, like, fucking figure it out, get in there, and then, like, Jar Jar's got to go figure this out. And so then, like, he's got a tip. All we know so far is that he knows who the leader of the resistance is. And this is the thing that we established Vader is looking for. So then, like, kind of like how we were talking about last time, he's going to take that information. It's almost less how is he going to do it, is how is he going to get credit for it, right?
Yeah.
Because it's also like, how is this going to be parlayed into something that Jar Jar can... Honestly, the worst thing that would happen for him would be that he gets Croquet Seal captured along with her crew, and then he doesn't get any closer to the inner circle. That almost feels like that should be what the crisis moment is that they're like, good job, Lord Vader, and then Jar Jar's got to stand up for himself or something like that.
Or also, how does this change? Is this going to be about Jar Jar going to a darker, like, does this change Jar Jar? Does Jar Jar start becoming more like a Qui-Gon? Like, start, like, and, you know, that's the classic, you're going undercover, does he get in too far?
The job changes him, huh?
Also, is there an angle of this? Like, well, did you see The Favorite?
The Favorite? No, I did not see The Favorite. I really want to. I was like,
doing The Favorite with Darth Vader and Jar Jar both competing for Emperor Palpatine. I just like the idea of, like, now that he's in the morning meetings, Jar Jar, like, always brings a plate of fruit, and he's like,
everyone loves
fruit.
Jar Jar.
Yeah. And he's like, oh, interesting, but Emperor Palpatine does. He's like, oh, I love fruit. Thank you, Jar Jar.
Yes, delicious Jar Jar.
Yes, very good, Jar Jar.
Me some mangoes. Wait, Jar Jar, what's the deal with the mango seeds? They're big and long. What is it? I don't get it.
One of my favorite running gags on BoJack Horseman is BoJack fucking hating, like, how many times you order fruit salad and it's all honeydew, like, or it's all melon. He's like, what the fuck? It says fruit salad. If it's a melon salad, just say it's melon.
I feel that. My mom's fruit salad is always just honeydew, cantaloupe, and then grape. And it's like a few grapes. It's like, yeah, that's just melon. That's just melon.
By the way, hey, I'm sorry, real quick. Grapes don't belong in the fruit salad. They are spherical, unspearable objects. Like, if you try to, yes. You know what I'm saying? Like, you try to stab that shit with a fork, and it's just fucking bouncing around all over the place.
If you got a fruit salad with grapes in it, you've got a melon salad with a grape chaser, because all those little shits are at the bottom of the little bowl at the end.
You fucking try to stab it like you're playing tiddlywinks with your fork and shit, dude.
Hey, it's a good bit. Can we get Jerry Seinfeld on the podcast and pitch that bit to him?
Yeah, good fruit. The salad.
What's the deal? Yeah.
I'm not going to sprinkle ranch dressing on it, but it's a salad. Pretty Wong hack comedian. This is my bit. Pretty Wong hack comedian.
What's the deal? All right. So, okay.
So, what's the actual?
The watermelon, some of them are, you got the pieces that are sweet, and then the other ones are just like water. And I'm like, you forgot the melon part.
Do you want to keep going, Freddie?
Yeah.
Matt and I can take a second. You know, like, yeah, I can reload my coffee, you know.
And you know, pineapple. Yeah. Pineapple, it's like a crapshoot every time. Is it sweet? Is it sour? I don't know.
I'm sorry, Freddie, I have to interrupt. This is a two-drink minimum bringer show, and you did not bring 10 people to the stand-up show, so we have to pull you off. You didn't bring 10 of your friends.
They're saying, they're flashing a red light at me. They're saying, oh, I gotta go.
That's
go.
My
okay,
time.
Anyway, that's my time. Check out my Instagram. I do Twitter stories with my bits.
All right. Give it up one more time for Freddie Wong. Our next comedian is a podcast called Story Break. Here's Will, Matt, and Freddie. Ready to do the rest of the podcast.
Hey, everybody. Okay. I'm shook. I'm trying to think now. Okay, so
I'm trying to think, but all I can come up with is scintillating riffs about the LA comedy scene.
All I can think about is just hilarious jokes about how some pieces of fruit are sweeter than other pieces of fruit. I just can't get it out of my head.
He knows that croquet is running the resistance, so then it feels like the next question is like, okay, how are you going to catch croquet? How are you going to bring her in? And so you could do that Jar Jar knows me. And again, this would be like one of those things you go back in a time machine and plant in that scene, in their first scene, like that is like some secret that is like a way he can get leverage on croquet, or like he knows that, you know.
Bear with me. You could do, like, again, you can hand wave, like, you don't need to get into the specific tech of this necessarily. It's like if Jar Jar is brooding in his office and it's like, oh, Jar Jar's in a dark spot, you know, whatever, cigarette in his hand. And then Nate 38 comes in, is like, Jar Jar, I got the information you wanted, but I'm not sure why you wanted this. He's like, just hand it to me. And then, like, you know, the Nate 38 hands
the
is like,
dossier.
This seems to be a random citizen, but yeah, I found, are you going to send them flowers or something? He's like, not exactly. Leave me, Nate 38. And he's looking at it. And then it's like, you cut to him, like, handshaking, like, walking to the, you know, office of Palpatine. You hear Vader and Palpatine talking. He's like, you really don't like fruit? He's like, I don't like fruit. He's like, oh, I'm nervous. Should I step in there? And then when he knocks on the door, he opens it up. He's like, Jar Jar, what the fuck are you doing here? Go be a puppet. We don't talk to you. He's like, I have something, you know? And then it's like, is that, you know, you can essentially just, is it about him just giving the information up? And like, then what does he do with that?
You know, you could do is if you do, he gets like the yes. It's like he looks up Croquet's Twitter profile and Nate 38 prints it out for him, like Donald Trump printing out his emails. You could do like it's again like it's fun. Like you juice a little bit of the emotion because again the conflict is less the how and like the like. Well, no, the conflict
what
is
it
like,
means
less
to
the ways and where's for us, what it means to him. You could do like he's flipping through her profile and he sees like, you know, mother of seven children.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
he's
yeah,
got like
yeah.
he sees like the distinguished military service and he has these flashbacks to like him and Croquet in the army, like that time she knocked him out of the way while one of those big balls was about to explode, or like she was the one who gave him the ice for his ball sack after he hit the tank. You know, it's like that kind of
thing. She's a kindergarten. I was going to say kindergungan teacher. She's a kindergungan teacher. They're like, yeah. I got you the information, Jar Jar. Are you looking? Oh, is this about the new teacher for the senators? He's like, what? No. Here, I'll take it. And he's looking through. He's like, yeah, it's just pictures of her with children. And it's like, yeah, Kroket was just like the best.
She's a studio teacher in the Theed film industry. And then they're going to catch her by, they're like, hey, we're looking for a studio teacher for a new teenage young adult thing. It's going to be on Space Netflix. And we're shooting it in Theed. You need to come by. The plot is, you know, like a teen finds out they have a powerful destiny and then, you know, like a bunch of bad guys. Anyway, sorry. He finds some detail in this thing that's going to be like how they're going to catch her, right?
Like, yes. Likes fishing.
I mean, where she lives, like what the, again, it's like, it makes perfect sense. Like, oh, they must be running.
Or again, she's again, got a day like, job, right? And like her day job, again, so it's like the day job is she, you know, just she's tending to, you know, orphaned Gungan children or like, you know, refugees from all the villages that have been poisoned, right? And it's in a church. So then you do like, you've got like, as again, you see this kind of scene in like World War II movies all the time where it's like the person in some sort of almost sacred place doing something so purely wholesome and good, and then the Nazis come in fucking goose stepping and be like, we're gonna drag you out of here or whatever. And then that's Jar Jar. Jar Jar is the one at the head of the troops, like arresting her in public.
What are you doing, Nazis? That's just a priest. Like, oh yeah. And they open up the confessional as a bunch of, you know, resistance weaponry and stuff. It's like, they had no priest.
Oh, then why does this priest have a portrait of Franklin Delano Roosevelt?
Oh wait, this is, wait, you're saying this isn't just a priest but also an anti-Nazi fighter? Like, that's even better, right? We're like, yeah, but we're the Nazis, so like, we're not happy about that. They're like, oh yeah, sorry, my bad, that makes sense. Go ahead, do you.
It's a church. Hear me out. Hear me out. Hear me out. Maybe. Okay, hold on. It's a church, and then you do, he can capture her, and then they're walking out, and everyone's crying in the church, and then Darth Vader locks the doors, and it's like the Patriot. He's like, burn the church, Jar Jar. Like, prove your loyalty, and then Jar Jar's got to print. No, it's too dark.
So two things that leap to mind. Number one, Will, to speak to your, like, crisis moment of Jar Jar, an easy one if Vader's tagging along is that if Vader, like, tries to kill Kroket and then Jar Jar saves Kroket, right? Like, he's intervenes to, like, you know,
because
it's like,
interesting.
Vader would get credit
for
killing him. It's like, no, I need this person should be alive, and then that would give him more credibility. Then the Emperor can dress down, like, Vader being, always with the choking. I don't get it. It's, you know what? You should take a page from our dear friend Jar Jar here. And then the other thing that I thought of was, imagine, if you will, what is the scenario where only Jar Jar could help? What if the church was underwater? And then Vader's like, I can't actually go in there. I guess it's got to be you, you crazy Gungan. And you know what I mean?
Emperor's promise I will get flippers or underwater jetpacks at some point on
this
suit.
Dude, that would be fucking dope. Vader underwater.
Underwater church is cool. Vader underwater is cool. I was also going to be like, is it still early Vader? Like, he doesn't have his, like, Mark 7 suit that can go underwater yet. So then they've got to put Vader in, like, some sort of weird scuba suit where you can see, like, his face. And, like, you can see his body because it's clear. And then it's, like, this vulnerable scene between him and Jar Jar where it's, like, he can see that it's Anakin or something. I don't know. It's
pretty
rotty.
Like Shape of Water, dude. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Sexy. I was saying, you could do underwater church, or maybe we'd finally get to do our own sort of like Broadway, you know, or like opera scene. And it's like, where's Kroket? It's like, oh, well, Kroket at night, day kindergarten teacher, nighttime, she's actually in the Cirque du Soleil show, the underwater Cirque du Soleil show. And then we can do like an opera scene, but with Cirque du Soleil with Gungans.
I was about to say, I thought you meant like, because you've already planted the idea of this opera. If it's like Kroket is also by night,
she's the prima ballerina singer in Swan Lake or in Squid Lake.
Squid Lake. Because Squid Lake has this, like, you know, water component, you know.
Oh, that's cool. Then you can play like the fucking Swan Lake music there. Bum, 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 bum. But it's like all the shots of the stormtroopers coming in. That's pretty cool, actually. I really like the idea of Darth Vader's going to kill her and then Jar Jar gets him to stand down. And then I think the way you turn the heat up on that is that Jar Jar gets him to stand down by saying something that plays to, like, Anakin, right? Then Darth Vader starts to realize that Jar Jar knows who he is. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's like that kind of guilt trip thing. He's like, think, what would your mother do or something like that? Or, like, what would Padme think? You know, he just blurts it out in the heat of the moment, and then Darth Vader's like, what the fuck? And then, but it gets to him, you know?
Yes, that's good.
It also gives us an opportunity to see that spark of good that's still in Darth Vader.
Yes, that's good.
I like that. Okay, yeah, I mean, we need that moment. That might be here. I'm trying to think. So, like, just thinking ahead to, like, what's the flow of this series of events involving specifically Kroket? So in this version, you're saying that, like, they're going to take out Kroket. Darth Vader is going to maybe, like, do a suboptimal job on this, and Jar Jar steps in and, like, screws Kroket over, you know, arguably worse by, like, getting her captured or whatever, and that ingratiates him with Qui-Gon. I mean, with and Qui-Gon, yes. You could also do, like, is there a scenario, I'm trying to think of, like, you also want to see the result. For example, I'm just trying to figure out how this works. Like, do you do that, they give up Crokey, they're like, yeah, we're going to go capture Crokey. Like, thank you, Jar Jar. And then, like, you know, the next day, Jar Jar hears that, like, you know, they freaking just bombed the entire city. And, like, you know, as far as he knows, Crokey and, like, all the kindergartners and everybody's dead. And, like, thanks, Jar Jar. And he's, like, all bummed out. But then he gets into the meeting and he's sitting there and he finds some information. And then, you know, the next day, Qui-Gon's like, good job, Jar Jar. Like, you know, we destroyed that shipment of fish oil thanks to you. And, like, okay. Like, what did that do? He's like, don't worry about it. It's fucking important. He's like, okay, but, like, I killed 200 kindergartners died. Like, was it worth it? He's like, this is war, Jar Jar. Like, this is what matters. Like, I'm trying to figure out, like, what's the next step for Jar Jar from this sequence?
I do like bringing this more grounded and more personal. Like,
yeah, back to Darth Vader.
The last sequence we did, like, someone got bombed somewhere else because, you know, you weren't there or whatever.
You weren't there.
That was kind of the urgency of here. So now he does this. He gets, you know, like, the price he pays is that Darth Vader's onto him now. Like, Darth Vader knows that he knows and is like, what are you, is going to be, start being suspicious of him. He's betrayed his friend. I think basically you now do, he is fucking reviled by the people of Naboo, right? And there's probably now a target painted on his head, but he is in the Emperor's inner circle and is now going to be in a position to try to undermine whatever the next stage of what's going on in our story.
Okay, so I feel like we build up to, I feel like the scene we do next episode should essentially be that scene, the pastry and cream scene from...
Oh, Inglourious Basterds?
Inglourious Basterds, where, like, after the scene, like, Jar Jar sitting there, and then Nate 38 comes in and he's like, you've been summoned to dinner with Darth Vader. And he's,
oh my
yes,
god,
it's like, and it's like, does Darth...
semi-erotic dinner scene with Darth Vader? Yes!
Darth Vader's trying to find out if you know that he's Anakin.
Yeah, you know.
It's like this.
Oh, and you get to finally see the Darth Vader straw. Like, Jar Jar's getting this feast from Vader. Yes, like, just this strawberry Vitamix, please.
No, don't eat it without the cream. It's worth it. A straw comes down. He's like, ugh. I don't taste anything, but it's worth it.
You could also do that Darth Vader, like, has sensed Qui-Gon's presence. Like, mm-hmm. on a plot level... Like, that would probably be the, like, it's going to be something in there. I don't know exactly what it is, but it's going to be something in there, because then, like, that gives you, like, it's not just, like, Jar Jar knowing who he is like, okay, whatever, right? But, like, how Jar Jar knows who he is and, like, the fact that Jar Jar is an agent of fucking Qui-Gon Jinn, like, he sensed the presence of his old master, right? Or something like that.
Sorry, we're essentially doing the next scene, but the audience's expectation of, like, oh, shit, like, this is about Darth Vader finding out if Jar Jar knows who he is. Mm-hmm. And the scene should feel like if he realizes Jar Jar does know he's Anakin, he's going to kill him. Like, that's the tension of the mm-hmm. scene.
Yeah, and then you
pull the rug out, because halfway through it's like, Jar Jar, please, you can talk to me, your old friend Anakin. He's like, oh shit, he already knows that he knows his Anakin. And this is about Qui-Gon. It's that turn. And then he starts playing as like, I just sometimes feel lost, you know, if I knew that my old master was here, perhaps I would be like, oh shit, is Anakin actually, like, I feel like Anakin should be darker than we think. Like, it's like, oh, maybe there is, like, you want the audience to feel like there's something good in Anakin and almost rooting for this. Like, no. Mm-hmm. Darth Vader is smart. Darth Vader is like, you fucking tell me where Qui-Gon is, not only am I going to kill you, Jar Jar, I'm going to fucking burn down this ghost. I'm going to figure this shit out. Like, I am going to make the Emperor proud of me. Like, you want that sort of feeling. Like, oh no, like, this guy's like, he needs to feel dangerous.
Yes, I like that tense barn burner for our next thing. And I think that this leads up to that. And yes, the way that this leads up to that is Jar Jar reveals to Anakin that he knows who he is.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Inadvertently.
And trying to get him to... Yeah, he blurts it out. It's like, what would your mother do? Or like, what would Shmi do? Or what would, you know, Padme do?
I like, what would your mother do? And he's like, why would he say? He's like, oh, just, you know, Gun's mothers are very important. I just figured out everybody's got a mom.
Why'd you say that name?
What would Martha do?
What name? What name? Mother? How do you know my mom was called mother? I mean, everybody's mom's called mother, right?
No, you know what it is? Jar Jar goes, Anakin, be the guy C-3PO thinks you are. And then, you know what I'm saying? Because he made C-3PO.
That's true.
That's fucking crazy, you know what I'm saying? Like, think about that shit.
I always forget that. And it's one of my favorite details. It's so good.
Can we have, like, a deleted scene where it's like, oh, this deleted scene from this Jar Jar movie, Vader meets C-3PO again. And it's like, they literally, like, he's, like, touching the 3PO's face. And he's like, perhaps but you and I both are robots. You know what I mean? Everyone's like, what the fuck was this scene doing in this movie?
What I love about Anakin building C-3PO is, like, it's a connection that does and means nothing. It'd be like if in Two Towers when, like, Frodo gets there and King Theoden turns good. He's like, oh, Frodo, I made your fence, by the way, 40 years ago. It's like, oh, okay. Yeah, just like, well, you know, I used to be a carpenter. I made Bilbo's fence.
I used to make big circle doors. Yeah, I think it was, where do you live in back
then? Mine.
Oh my goodness, that was one of my first gigs.
Wow, what a coincidence. Okay. This is everything to do with anything. Not just small world, you know what I mean? Just like, I made C-3PO, okay. Cool.
What's that, by the way, is like, how's that not the plot of something? Is that, like, even unbeknownst to young Anakin, like, the dark side was guiding his hand as he created C-3PO?
And there's dark C-3PO?
There's, like, dark code in C-3PO from being made
okay.
by a Sith.
Okay, no,
like,
I just...
How did you not do a 3PO goes evil where, like, he gets activated by, like, the dark side force of Anakin's whatever?
Okay, if you had a Roomba made by Hitler, you probably wouldn't like it, right? So, like, actually, now I just realized I love the idea. Like, of course everybody hates C-3PO. They're all like,
yeah,
dude, you're Hitler's Roomba, bro.
Look, I know it's not your fault, but, like, literally Anakin made, like, Darth Vader made you. Like, whatever. Well, fuck this droid.
Yeah, the fact that those movies, that they're not turning to C-3PO every time, it's just, like, Alderaan gets blown up and they're like, what's the deal, dude?
Dude, like, what the fuck?
I don't think
your
I know.
God, your creator.
The guy who made you fucking blew up Alderaan. Oh, dear. This was never part of the original
plan. I know it's not your fault, but I can't help but look at you, C-3PO, and every time I look at you, I just see Darth Vader. Like, what do you want from us? Like, why are you still with us? Just
like, your round eyes. Like, what the fuck is this guy doing?
C-3PO colon Hitler's Roomba colon a Star Wars story.
Yeah, poor C-3PO, you just can't live it down. What are you going to do? Okay.
All right.
Okay, so knowing that this scene ends with a velvet envelope with a summon from Lord Vader for a tense...
A velvet envelope?
What is this, 50 Shades of Vader?
Yeah.
Is
that the... 50 Shades... Well said, the sexual tension.
No. The erotically charged.
It's a room and Vader just has his jeans on.
Okay.
Oh my god.
Sorry,
casual
we're just writing
Vader?
The next seat.
Did you just say he casual in, jeans yeah, wearing yeah. Vader?
He walks into the dinner and his egghead Vader with jeans and a white t-shirt
and a
on with stains on it. Jar Jar, let's speak freely.
You do that. He visits Vader in his sad bachelor pad. Because Vader doesn't know how to take care of himself anymore. It's like a YouTuber who bought, like, a huge mansion after making it big, but they're still 22 and they have terrible taste and, like, don't have any furniture. So it's like, he goes over to, like, Vader's place to have this intense combo, and then Vader's like, so I'm just going to drink my protein shake. And he's like, you don't have any food? Like, what's in your fridge? And the fridge just has, like, old mustard packets in it. He's like, Vader, let me cook you, like, a nice gunkin' meal. And then it's like, Jar Jar cooks a nice meal for Darth Vader. And then
he doesn't even answer the door. He's like all nervous. Like, oh, this could be, like, a summoning. And he knocks on the door, and he's like, what? Just come in. Sorry, this stupid thing.
I'm
he opens
Xbox.
Up, and
you
just
I'm
get a
Xbox.
Quick glimpse of Vader, like, walking through the hallway, like, with, like, a hammer or something and, like, jeans on. He's like, fucking egg machine. Like, I can't even get this thing to work. Sorry, just make yourself at home. Just make yourself at home, Jar Jar. I'll get something. It's like, okay. Yeah, he's just a fucking bachelor.
Here's a question. Vader's bachelor pad. Mm-hmm. Is he a PS5 or an Xbox guy? You know what I'm saying?
I mean, he looks more like an Xbox than a PS5.
Yeah, he's an Xbox.
He's an Xbox gamer. I've never been more sure of anything in my life, Freddy, yeah. than Darth Vader plays Xbox.
Could you imagine? Like, you're on Call of Duty and, like, straight up Darth Vader gets on there and you're like, dude, is this Darth Vader? I'm getting fried by Darth Vader right now.
That'd be an old Freddy W video. It's like, and then you dunk on Darth Vader and this kid's like calling Darth Vader like an asshole or whatever. And then all of a sudden the kid's like, like choking. It's like, you are saying.
Okay, hold on. I bet you in esports, Force users would be banned because that's like competitive advantage.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Wait, if you know the Force, you'd be banned from all sports.
Freddy just figured out the plot of every X-Men movie. You're saying if somebody had powers, they would be treated differently in society.
Okay, in the world of Star Wars, in the universe of Star Wars, the greatest athletes almost all were probably Force users, right?
There's probably like a Lance Armstrong-esque scandal about
yeah,
a
like
champion
the Incredibles.
Athlete. Who was like, oh, he was forcing. Everybody knows it. Like, everybody knows all the cyclists
yeah,
in Star
yeah.
Wars are secretly force sensitive. It's an open secret.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway.
As often we get excited about the green pastures in the next episode. Let's
the
just,
green
let's
pastures of, for example, the implication of sports in the Star Wars universe.
Darth Vader in jeans playing Xbox.
I like him getting the information of Croquet. Like, keep it fast and simple. Like, we know who Croquet is. It's not interesting to figure out how it's like. You cut to, he gets the information.
Yeah, Nate38's got the profile.
Oh, Nate38 goes like this. Nate38 goes like, oh, unfortunately, Croquet's address and information is hidden because they haven't friended me on Facebook. And then Jar Jar's like, I'm friends with Croquet. Oh, here it is. You have the access codes.
Oh, thanks.
That's right. I am friends with Croquet. Dot, dot, dot. Okay, so Okay. He's looking through Croquet's dossier or whatever. We're seeing, I think a nice little war flashback would be fun. Like, you know, like that. And like, you know, mother of seven or whatever you're going to do. Like, you know, like she's a great person. And so you get that guilt. But then he sees the thing, which is how they're going to catch her, which is like what she currently does. So like, I love the idea of like she's doing something very wholesome, like in like at a church or something like that. And then your next scene is going to be, you know, Jar Jar and Darth Vader. He's got to bring the information to Darth Vader.
He goes to information to Darth Vader and he gives it to him, and Jar Jar's like barely handle, like, right, like this is like the worst moment, like hands shaking, and and Emperor's like, oh, it's worth. Darth Vader's just staring at Jar Jar. He's like, well, Vader, looks like, you know, looks like you got someplace to go. He's like, I think Jar Jar should come. And it's
what? He senses that he's weak.
Yeah. And he looks like, oh, no, I don't need to come. You know, and he's like, oh, it's, you've it's done like
your
it.
Your feelings betray you, Jar Jar. Yeah, like the,
it's like, why wouldn't you want to come? You've given this information. You should want to see your enemy vanquished. It's like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So then, like, the idea he brings Jar Jar with him is like, let's see how Jar Jar reacts to this. Like, fucking, like, I'm on to you.
He's
like,
suspicious.
There's something going on
here.
Yes, he's suspicious.
I like that. Okay. I like that as the next beat. And then you do so. Then what? Here's what I was going to say. I feel like the next thing, again, it's a classic scene. We cut to Croquet, saint-like, tending to the wounded in this church, right? Like from again, from a World War II movie. And then Darth Vader and Jar Jar show up with the fucking stormtroopers. And she, like, you know, wipes her hands and puts the thing away. And it's like, well, what do you want? I'm but a humble, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then Darth Vader's like, yeah, fucking right. And they find the evidence. And then what I would do is, she's not the only resistance person here. And then you do, someone pulls a gun in a firefight. Starts and then you do, we can get a little bit of spice for the trailer, right? You got Jar Jar ducking, Vader beating ass, right, and wiping these people out, and then he's about to kill Croquet and Jar Jar steps in the way, like a classic, you know.
This is very good. This is what you do. It's not that they just walk in, you cut to like, yes, he's like in a church or whatever, like tending the wounded or something, and you do, they pull up in their space limousines or whatever.
That's space what people limousines.
Like a prom date.
Like a space limousine.
It's a YT-1300 stock light prom limo.
Shit, this is the easiest gag ever for fucking Vader going to prom.
You start the giant limo.
You start the movie with a limo going, and it just keeps going, and then you cut to like the dad. He's like, pretty audacious. We get it, Vader. You got the biggest limousine in town. It's just this car. It's very, sorry it took us 2 months to get here. It's very hard to find a turn that we can take in this car. Anyways, so you do, I think they're outside the church, and then like all the SWAT team's there, and they're like, should we go? And Vader's like, no, Jar Jar, bring her out. Because then the idea, like, you want that scene where Jar Jar walks into the church and like meets, maybe you do like he meets Croquet, or maybe that's too much, like, you right, it'd be like, and then Croquet knows instantly. He's like, what have you done,
I feel
Jar
like
Jar?
That's, then we gotta have a whole Croquet scene with Jar Jar. Like, no, I think you,
yeah,
just
less
do,
about Croquet, yeah, yeah, there. I think you'll get that later, but like here it's about Jar Jar Vader.
I think you can do, they come in and Jar Jar is with Vader and can barely look her in the eye, and she, like, I think one pointed line from Croquet to Jar Jar is all you need.
Yeah, that's true, that's true. I think the cool scene is, it goes nuts. People are fighting. I think you follow Croquet, like, slipping through some trap door in the church and, like, running through the corridors or whatever. And I think she bumps. Mm-hmm. You want that moment. She, like, bumps into Vader, you know, and it's just the solo. Like, he's in, like, under, and he's, like, choking her. It's like, yes, you know. And then, like, Jar Jar has followed her, you know, almost like a Croquet, I'm sorry, sort of thing.
I feel like you can keep it simpler than that. I think you do, it's a big gunfight in this church, a la The Killer, right? Like, you do, like, there's guys, you know, like, again, the turn would be like, Croquet is like, this wasn't a trap for me. This was a trap for you, right? Like, she baited and she's turned the tables. There's 10 resistance guys packing heat. She's like, I'm gonna kill Darth Vader, like, you know. It turns into a big crazy gunfight. She is about to maybe get the drop on him, and then it just doesn't go well because Darth Vader's a fucking badass, and then Jar Jar spares her life. Like, I feel like that could be the flow of it.
No, I like that, because I think a really cool scene with Vader, because we can talk about, like, or at least I know, but I'm pretty sure you two do, I fucking hate that scene in Rogue One so much. And I think one of the things they do really cool in Warhammer is the way they treat Chaos Marines, or just Space Marines in general. Like, I feel like the scene is like, it's like The Killer if the guy in the center, if Chow Yun Fat was essentially Keanu Reeves in The Matrix when he's just like chilling and like realizing he's really good at blocking. It's just like Vader's in the center, they're all shooting, and he's just like laughing. It's like, huh, he's just like, is this blocking everything, barely moving, and just like, I'm invincible, like, fuck, like, what are you gonna do, like, I'm just enjoying myself, like, I'm a fucking king, I'm not just like a wild maniac. Anyways, he's just murdering everybody, and
so then it's turning into a slaughterhouse, and then he's about to kill Croquet, and then she's got a thermal detonator and she's gonna blow him up with it, you know, and take them both out or something like that, and then she's, and then he stops her, and like, you know, I don't know, like, but
no,
yes,
that's cool.
Do,
I like, again, it's like, I like the, I guess maybe a choking we've done, but it's like the idea of like pulling Croquet up in the air and choking her. She throws like a thermal detonator, and you get that thermal detonator, he's like, like stops in midair, like literally like already like beginning to explode, and Vader's like, there's nothing you can do, you know, sort of thing. It's like, oh shit, like Vader's fucking powerful. Would be like a cool thing.
Yeah.
Jar Jar does something to stop it. What does he say? He says, what would your mother do?
The classic thing would be she fires at him and you save that like Kylo Ren money shot of him stopping the blaster bolt. Right?
Yeah.
Like, and he freezes the blaster bolt in midair, and then you do, like, she's terrified, and again, he's like, redirects it slowly towards her. Like, he's just gonna, we'll figure it out. There's some cool action thing. However razzle-dazzle you get with it, the point is that her plan fails because she didn't realize how powerful Darth Vader is.
Yes, he's doing some slow motion version of going to kill her. Yeah. Something that's not just choking, because we've already done that. He's like crushing her with, like, if this was a John Woo movie, it'd be like the statue of Mary has fallen and the statue's like slowly crushing her.
No, he's just holding the lightsaber and he's just like turning the knob to make it longer. And it's just like, it's going to hit you. And he's like fiddling with it. He's like, oh, your death will be slow. Oh.
What's Jar Jar up to in this scene? Like, he can't just be screaming and ducking, right? Like, you need him to do something. And I actually wonder if you do, because again, this is also rookie Darth Vader, remember? Like, this is not, you know, like cool and controlled. This is like he's fresh off the farm, so to speak. You would do like that. She is actually about to kill Vader at one point, and this ambush is about to go off, and Jar Jar knocks Vader out of the way or something like that, and like saves Darth Vader's life.
I know you're getting at. I think the rookie Vader, I mean, not to be, but like Anakin before Vader is pretty much invincible. Bumbling around. Yeah,
those
like,
kids didn't stand a chance.
Yeah, I don't think it's about Vader almost getting killed. I think it's pretty simple that Vader's invincible, and that's what's again. I think it's important that Vader is essentially invincible here because Jar Jar is seeing what the result of helping is. Like what he is helping is like what Anakin has become. This is a scene where he gets to truly see what Anakin's become, and this should be a slaughter.
Yes. Okay. Sure. What's Jar Jar doing? Let me put it that way, because I don't want to just have it be Jar Jar. Is he trying to get people out of there? Or again, if she's tending to the, you know, sick, if this is like the orphanage or something, is he trying to get the children out? Is he like, what is Jar Jar doing in this scene?
I'm trying to think. If Kroke ran, like you could have Jar Jar following, like chasing after Kroke would be an active thing he could be doing.
I see what you mean.
Oh, and then the corners turn in an alley somewhere and then Vader catches up sort of thing. And then that's where that showdown happens.
Yeah. Yeah.
So then you would do like you have a confrontation between Jar Jar and Kroke that then Vader steps out from behind the shadows or whatever.
Yeah.
Ooh, and Vader was watching. He was going to see what happens.
Or again, if it's fast enough, if Vader, again, this is like a, if this is more like a face-off church scene, it's like it happens quickly. It's like, yes, what Jar Jar is doing is what everybody else is doing, which is just letting it happen because it goes so fast. Like Vader's taking control of this. And before Jar Jar can even realize, like, you know, in his mind, he's like, okay, this is going to be a thing. Oh my God, I'm so nervous. Kroke is going to probably be like, you're a traitor, Jar Jar. And it's going to be all awkward. It's gonna be horrible. And it's like Vader comes in and it's like it's over in fucking 2 seconds. It's like he walks in, is like, hello. He's like, you're guilty for, you know, going against the Emperor. Like everybody just starts exploding and Jar's like, shit. And within seconds, like everybody's gone, and it's just him and Kroke, and he's like about to kill Kroke, and Jar Jar does something. Or like, yeah, I'm just trying to think of how do you stop.
Oh, so you're saying that it's not like a big crazy action scene. It's a,
it can be about that confrontation. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then it's also, you are right that it is like what Jar Jar is doing is beholding, you know, the terror of the guys that he's working for. Right. So which is enough. You don't necessarily have
to. We don't need to do the Mandalorian finale where we watch. Like, it's like, we get it. Luke Skywalker's strong. How long do I have to watch a security camera footage of him continually go through this fucking hallway? It's like
it casually takes, slice through a bunch of robots.
You get it after a few seconds.
So, yes, you do that. Jar Jar is bearing horrible witness to the awfulness of Darth Vader and the Empire. Right. You know, people are getting killed.
Yeah.
You know, it's just a slaughter in there. And then Kroke is about to die heroically, and then Darth Vader stops her.
I'm trying to think of the stadium, but if it's something like Vader is doing some, again, like he's murdered everybody, now he's enjoying this death. It's like, you, so you are the one, like, you know, you're the leader. Like, you know, I hope this was all worth it to you. He's doing some line, and then doing maybe not literally Freddy's thing, but for the sake of it, he's turning the dial and slowly extending it. And then right before it's about to kill her,
I got some buy-in on my idea.
Jar Jar like screams out, yes, like, what would your mother do or something? And Vader like turns and, you know, Kroke quickly dodges out of the way and drops the floor. And then, you know, Jar Jar like steps in front of her really quick. It's like, we need her alive. Like, the Emperor's going to want the information. Like, if it's just like he stops this moment and then tense standoff and Emperor's like,
yes, that's his. Yes. You're right that the action scene itself is incredibly brief. It's not an indulgent, you know, Thrash-a-palooza. Again, it's like the action in Inglorious Bastards, which is swift and brutal, and it's over in 7 seconds. But you're like, oh my God.
Yeah.
So it's, yes, you would do that. They try to pull their move where they're going to kill Vader. Vader kills all of them, and then he's got her, right? Because she's the one they're after. She's the symbol.
Yes.
And he says some cruel line as he's about to kill her, and then Jar Jar stops him.
Yes, and Jar Jar finds a way to twist that line into something. Again, if he's saying some line, it's like, yeah, it's trying to think of what it is. Because, like, right, perfectly, he's like, he's saying some line. It recalls something that Jar Jar knows about Anakin, and he kind of he turns it on him, and it makes Vader freeze. This invincible machine monster that you just saw kill everybody in 7 seconds all of a sudden stops and, like, turns and looks at Jar Jar, and it's just enough time that, you know, that it doesn't kill Kroka or whatever. Right.
I mean, he could just say Annie. He could save his name.
Yeah.
Right? Like, he always called him Annie when he was, so he was like, Annie, stop. You know, and then Darth Vader stops. Yeah. And then, you know, the jig is up. He blurted out his real name. That would get Darth Vader to pump the brakes. And then Jar Jar recovers and is like, the Emperor needs her alive. And now he does know that Jar Jar knows, but he doesn't know how Jar Jar knows.
Yes,
and that's what he's trying to figure out in the next
scene.
And
then you get the dinner scene, yes.
That's cool. I think that works. And that's nice, and that's Vader. Simple, you know, and you understand, like, why that's a big deal.
You got a letter from Lord Vader. Dear Jar Jar, please come to dinner. It is casual dressed. Please bring your own meals. Signed, Annie. He's like, oh no, he knows. Yeah, it's good. And then we'll figure out this, like, fun
dress is Gungan casual.
Gungan casual.
Whatever. Yeah, whatever that is.
Gungan casual is the name of Jar Jar's biography. Okay, this is really cool. Sorry, just to rip through it real quick so we understand it. So we're starting with him looking up Kroke's dossier. You know, like, we get a little bit of a war flashback. You know, he finds out that she works at this hospital. We should figure out what that is.
Yeah,
you want it to be something nice and juicy, right?
Church is so cliche. I mean, it could be like a food bank sort of thing, but you also want to be like a place that's like clearly a lot of the people here are resistance fighters. Like, this is a front, like a front that's also doing its actual thing.
I mean, again, the reason the church is great because it's a sacred place, right? Like, it is like the, hey man, sometimes you play the hits, sometimes the cliches work for a reason.
Fucking
dude.
Church, man. Star Wars needs more churches.
So it is a church, and it is like basically like a place where,
well, because we already have Christian God.
It's true.
That's right.
It is weird, by the way. Another thing I don't like about Star Wars lore is, like, it doesn't seem like, at least in the movies or any of the books I remember as a kid, there's not like religion other than the Force, which is seen as this, like,
there's a line in Star Wars where he's like, that's just like a religion. It's just like, cool, name one other one.
Yeah, not to keep going back and forth. That's the cool thing about 40K is like the realization.
That's
like,
why Warhammer 40K is superior to Star
just
Wars.
Religion. Always talking about how much he knows.
It's just
you like
love
Warhammer
it
so much. Why don't you marry it, Matt? Why don't you marry your Marines? Why don't you comfort yourself in the steely grip of a giant Death Marine?
Okay, one hot take since this episode's been fast. I feel like most sci-fi and like hard sci-fi is made by a very certain type of person, a lot of which is are kind of like atheistic. Like, logic is separate from religion. They can't possibly. So, like, most science fiction's bullshit in the first place because literally, if religion is not inherently part of your science fiction culture, it's not realistic, because if you can find one part of humanity or one part of our society that is not religious-based, including atheism, go fuck yourself. Not possible. Like, belief of something greater is inherent. Name one society.
You do realize that the Force is essentially the religion in Star
it's just
Wars,
Buddhism,
right?
It's the Force.
No, that's what I'm saying, though.
No, but hold on. I'm going to break check you for a second, though, because Star Wars, especially like George Lucas Star Wars, is like a deeply spiritual story. Like, it is like,
I agree.
I'm
talking about specifically the lore and the overall world. It gets, again, as always, once they start going out into the extended universe, like, they're so stuck around just the small story that Lucas made, which is, it's weird that all stories are just become about Jedi. Where again, Lucas was doing like a very specific small story about like this certain type of, you know, these warriors. But I'm saying, like, they don't, like, when they go to Gungan or they go to any other like Naboo, there's not like a church of people like like another religion. There's just like the only form of religion is these samurai warriors of the Force, essentially.
Okay.
Or is there other religion in Star Wars?
Well, so the Way of the Mandalore is a Mandalore religious
sect.
Yeah, there
you go, right there.
Which
features heavily in.
Dunked on, dude. Holy shit.
True.
Can I get an NFT of this posterization? Holy shit, dude, I need this tokenized.
I was about to say Ewok. That scene doesn't quite hold up. It's a little bit, it's a little like,
I expect you in full Mandalorian cosplay and apology.
I stand by my point. You point to a church in Star Wars that's not a Jedi temple, and I will retract my statement. And don't do it on Wikipedia that somebody did on a fan fiction. Like,
yeah, but that's like saying, like, point to, like, a non-Buddhist temple in, you know.
No, I said any religion.
Some places, some places are dominated by single religions.
How many religions do these Star Wars movies need to have to satisfy you, Matthew?
Six per planet. Six per planet. Every hemisphere probably has at least one religion.
I am Orthodox Mandalorian, not Eastern Orthodox Mandalorian.
I would love that. By the way, I would love that.
I mean, that's essentially what the Mandalorian is like, he's Orthodox Mandalorian. He doesn't take his helmet off. And they're like,
I mean, we don't need to get into specifics. It's like, definitely much more spiritual, is different than religion, too. But anyways, it's a thing.
All right. This has gone on way too long.
Get out of here. People want to listen to this scene.
The last thing we need to deal with is, what is it that she's doing? Are we going to say, the first thing that leaps to mind is that it's like, is this like a refugee shelter for like Gungans who've been dislocated because of all the pollution and stuff like
that? Yeah, that makes sense, because that's where that she would talk about. Yeah.
That was the thing she cared about in the previous scene was like, my village is getting poisoned. Yes. So you do that, like, there's a refugee settlement outside of Feed, right? Where these Gungans who like their homes are getting poisoned have been coming to, and she's providing aid, and it's like the church is the sort of locus of the refugee camp.
Yes, it's also probably people who have been wounded in these. There's been skirmishes all over the planet, so they probably like, right, it's, for example, if they walked in, like if the French resistance had like some sort of sign or whatever, like when they walk in, it's also like a bunch of the refugees that are like laying in there are clearly soldiers of the resistance in Naboo or whatever. Like
in terms of the specificity of it, I would say it's a refugee camp that they are running, but they are also running their resistance operation. Do you know what I mean? It's like one of those. Yeah. And that's great, because then you also get this scene of Jar Jar crossing the threshold into the camp itself, and it's like these sick, tired, weary Gungans that he's turned his back on that are like glowering at him as he marches past them with Darth Vader to the church.
Yes.
Okay, that's really cool. He goes to the church, there's the confrontation with Croquet, they place her under arrest, and then she springs an ambush. Darth Vader wipes everybody out, and then he's about to kill her. Jar Jar blurts out his name, and then Darth Vader stops and turns around, and then he's able to convince her to spare her life for the glory of the Empire or whatever.
Yes.
All right.
And then Matt rants about religion in Star Wars for 20 minutes, and then we're out.
And then we fiddle with some knobs on a lightsaber, and we call it a day.
All I want to know is that on Wikipedia, when you look up religion, it literally just says religion's based on the Force. It's like there's this complicated world with thousands of galaxies, and they're like, religion, the Force. It's like, okay, cool. So like, that's all the thought of
this sci-fi one of single.
Most important aspects of human society.
The warp drive breaks the rules, known rules of Dyson spheres and physics, so therefore
I'm just saying it's an interesting thing to think about when you do world building, how often religion is not thought of in science fiction. I just think that's interesting. It's kind of like thinking about how there's like no sexuality in superhero stories.
I don't know, Matt, WandaVision really got me with this, like, will they, won't they, if Wanda is gonna have sex with the computer dude.
The Gungans have their own religion. Gungans were known to venerate certain deities exclusively to their culture, known as goods, such as, and then there's the whole bunch of them. After Battle of Yavin, the fundamentalist sect of the Ultra Gungans was active on Naboo. The cult was responsible
Ultra
for stealing
Gungans.
an artifact from Boss Rugor Nass, later retrieved by a spacer hired by the boss.
Ultra Gungans? You're telling me that there's Ultra Gungans and we haven't even done a single thing about them?
Oh, shit.
To stand by my point, if you folks want to send me. I'm just saying it's an interesting observation that I think I could easily stand by it, that when you were to break down, like, in Civilization,
okay,
there's four tech trees.
Yes, we
technology,
get it.
Let me finish. You talked about Fruit Freddy for 4 minutes.
Yeah,
so I'm going to finish
funny.
This. In civilization, you get usually tech, culture, and religion. It's like one of the defining aspects of any sort of society. So it's just interesting to me that in most science fiction, that aspect is completely ignored. I just think that's fascinating.
Yeah,
I think it kind of tells you usually what people are talking about.
This, by the way,
it is fascinating. Freddy's being a butthead is fascinating.
By the way, the Ultra Gungans were a militia known as the Ultra Gungan Militia, which was a paramilitary group based on Naboo. So maybe we can do something with that. Anyway,
Ultra Gungans is a cool word.
It's very cool.
It's pretty cool.
At any rate, let's wrap this up and we'll do some ads and then we'll do the scene. Interior Jar Jar's office. Day. Nate 38 hands a data pad to a stressed out Jar Jar sitting at his desk.
Here's everything I could find on Croquet Seal, Governor.
Jar Jar flips through photos of Croquet on the datapad. We see her fighting in battle, marching at a protest, tending to the sick and wounded.
What a diverse array of photos.
Her resume is very impressive. War veteran, environmental activist, Gunganitarian volunteer. Are we considering her for a cabinet post? She'd be quite an asset.
Yes, she's a great person, all right.
Jar Jar stares at the photo of Croquet fighting in battle. We push into his eyes and begin flashback.
Yeah.
Nice.
Exterior Naboo, day, flashback.
Has there been a Star Wars flashback?
Has there? There was one in Rise of Skywalker. They flash back to young Leia and Luke training. So we're in good company.
No joke. I don't know that because I was peeing.
Oh, no.
Literally, I was watching that movie and I was like, this feels like a good time to go to the bathroom. I came back and I was
Do your bathroom business when Star Wars is over, Freddy.
And I asked my brother, I'm like, what did I miss? He's like a flashback with like a young. I'm like, what? Oh, man.
Wasn't just like Oliver One a flashback?
Yes, the prequels are technically a flashback. If you think about it. This whole movie's a flashback.
It's all is. A long time ago, right?
Yeah.
Long time ago and far, far away.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Exterior Naboo Day flashback. As the battle against the droid army rages, Jar Jar nuts himself on a tank barrel. He winces in pain and falls to the ground. A shadow falls over him. It's a hulking battle droid. It levels its blaster at Jar Jar. He cowers. Wham! And Croaky flies in from nowhere to tackle the droid to the ground. With a brutal tear, she rips a clump of wires from the droid's neck and it dies in an instant. Jar Jar gives her a grateful smile. She helps him to his feet and shoves a blaster into his hands. Back to the fight, General! With a wild grin, she charges into battle, and we end flashback. Jar Jar studies the picture of Croquet on the datapad, lost in thought and racked with guilt.
Shall I have our recruitment team reach out to her?
No. Misa will take care of her.
Jar Jar picks up the datapad and heads out the door.
Jar Jar picks up a gun, a loaded pistol, and chambers around.
Interior, Darth Vader's office. Day. By the way, Darth Vader's office, also one of my favorite slug lines I've ever written in my life.
Darth Vader's office.
There's an empty fruit bowl in there.
Yep. Jar Jar's just staring at the bowl like, where did the fruit go? Jar Jar presents his findings to Darth Vader in a hologram of the Emperor. He stands before a 3D holographic model of a large temple.
Croquet runs a refuge camp at the Temple of Gaba. Based on the locations of recent attacks, Misa think the temple is a hiding place for the Resistance.
The 3D model switches to a map of Naboo. Red X's pop up all over the planet, showing locations of Resistance attacks. Lions shoot out from the X's and converge on the temple, which sits roughly at the center of the action. Emperor Palpatine smiles.
So, the poster boy is more than just a pretty face. I'm impressed, Jar Jar. Lord Vader, it seems you could learn a thing or two from the governor.
God damn.
Vader stares at Jar Jar through the hologram, noticing the guilt in his eyes.
Yes, I believe I could.
Vader, you will lead a strike team to this temple and bring these agitators to justice. I want our top team on this.
Jar Jar timidly excuses himself and heads for the door.
Well, Misa, no shop talk when Misa hear it.
I request that the governor accompany me on this mission.
Jar Jar freezes in his tracks.
Me?
Vader glowers at him, his voice dripping with menace.
You are a soldier, after all. It will be a boon to your image to lead the attack, and I'm sure there's more I can learn from how you handle the situation.
Jar Jar gives a big, nervous gulp.
When do we leave?
Exterior, Gungan refugee camp. Thunder rumbles in the rainy skies. Hundreds of displaced Gungans gather in tents and shiver around fires in a sprawling makeshift camp. At the center of camp stands an old, worn-down temple. A crack of lightning heralds the descent of an Imperial assault shuttle into the middle of the camp. A furious wind kicks up as the shuttle lands. Gungans scramble in fear. Darth Vader and Jar Jar descend the shuttle's loading ramp, flanked by a squad of menacing clone troopers. The refugees watch with dread as they make their way through the camp towards the temple. Jar Jar tries to maintain a stoic expression, but the wrenching desperation of the scene wears heavy on his soul. Interior, temple, night. The temple has been converted to a makeshift hospital for the sick. Lines of cots stretch out along the stone floor, each holding an ailing Gungan. Croquet Seal paces amongst them, her crutch replaced by a sturdy cane, tending to the ill and issuing commands to nurses and volunteers. The front doors of the church burst open. Jar Jar, Vader, and the troopers march inside. A sick Gungan looks up at Croquet with worry. She gives them a calm, reassuring look. Croquet washes her hands and turns to face the intruders.
Ah, Lord Vader, Governor Binks. To what do we so owe the pleasure?
Croquet Seal, you are under arrest for conspiring against the Empire.
Two troopers step up to Croquet, knock her cane aside, and cup her hands in front of her.
Misa, see. And Husa accused me of this crime?
She looks directly at Jar Jar. He glances away.
Misa saw you at the factory, Croquet.
Then I guess we should know whose side you saw on, General.
Vader turns to the other troopers.
Fan out and search the area. There could be more of them.
The troopers spread out into the church to begin their search. They kick over crates, rip blankets off the sick, and peer under their cots. Tears begin to well in Jar Jar's eyes. Vader watches him like a hawk. His hand draws instinctively to the lightsaber on his belt. Croquet glares at Jar Jar as the troopers drag her past him towards the exit.
Did Yusa put up a fight at least? Did they beat it out of you? Or did Yusa smile when you stabbed your people in the back?
Jar Jar's voice breaks as he mumbles a response.
Naboo is proud to serve the Emperor, and Misa proud to serve Naboo.
Croquet spits in Jar Jar's face.
Look around you, Jar Jar. Look at what they said doing. Yusa fought their war for this?
Jar Jar becomes keenly aware of Vader staring at him, waiting to see how he'll respond. With a surge of determination, Jar Jar balls his fists and masks his feelings behind a cloak of righteous anger.
Yusa fought for the good of the galaxy. Yusa's still fighting. Not just for Naboo, but for everyone. Yusa the traitor, Kroke. Yusa the one that can't see that peace only comes through strength.
Vader's stance relaxes at this response. His hand moves off his lightsaber. Kroke chuckles bitterly. She whispers to Jar Jar.
Do you know why Yusa let you see me at the factory, Jar Jar? Either Yusa would say nothing, and Yusa would have had an ally. Or Yusa would tell Vader and lead him straight to us.
Jar Jar's eyes flash with worry as that same wild grin fills Kroke's face. Across the room, one of the troopers rips a blanket off a resting Gungan and comes face to face with a hidden blaster rifle. The sick in air quotes, Gungan gives the trooper a vengeful smirk. Death to the Empire. Boom! The Gungan blows the trooper's head clean off. At the sound of the gunshot, a dozen more resistance fighters, human and Gungan alike, leap out from hiding spots all around the church and open fire on the troopers. Jar Jar ducks for cover as the two troopers holding Kroke are cut down in the same bloody instant. Kroke dives to the floor and grabs for her cane. Vader is a whirling dervish of death. His saber blocks blaster fire with terrifying speed. With a hand outstretched to the force, he crushes windpipes and smashes heads with falling debris. Sick Gungans scramble in fright as the battle rages around them. Seeing that Vader's distracted, Kroke pulls a blaster from the hilt of her cane and takes deadly aim at his back. Wham! But just as she pulls the trigger, Vader merely looks in her direction, and a crossbeam falls from the ceiling and slams into her, pinning her to the ground. Kroke cries out in pain. Her screams echo off the now silent temple walls. Her resistance comrades, all dead, lie in smoking heaps throughout the room. Vader steps up to Kroke. She looks up at him with burning hatred. He aims his saber between her eyes and twists a knob on the hilt with his thumb. Slowly
yes.
But surely,
yes.
The deadly
yes.
Blade inches towards
yes.
Her.
Yes, he finally know what the knob is for.
Nice.
Jar Jar watches in horror. He calls out to Vader.
Vader, stop. It's really cool using the knob. Vader, stop. Lord Vader.
Kroke shuts her eyes, ready for the end. Frantic, desperate, Jar Jar blurts out at the top of his lungs.
Annie!
That gets his attention. The troopers look up in confusion. Vader, startled, turns to Jar Jar, but keeps his blade pointed at Kroke. Jar Jar, realizing he's said too much, tries to recover his composure.
Annie to her alive, Lord Vader. Yusa, think it'd be better to take her in alive. Yusa could be useful to the Emperor, right?
A long, hard beat as Vader stares at Jar Jar, his thumb still on the saber's dial. Kroke sweats bullets.
As you wish.
He turns off his saber and walks past Jar Jar out of the room.
He laboriously retracts his saber by.
He just reels it in like a fisherman.
He's reeled in like a fishing line.
Jar Jar staggers back, relief and dread washing over him in equal measure.
Nice.
All right.
Oh, thank God. Finally answered the question of what the knob does.
What the little Lord's knob on the
yep,
saber
the
does. It makes
knob.
It a little longer.
Finally some saber action, too.
Yep.
Good stuff. Now it's Star Wars.
Excuse me. We had an entire saber Cirque du Soleil fucking thing
yeah.
Not that long ago. Matthew.
Yeah, come on,
that's
man.
True. That's true. We have the best use of sabers in all Star Wars at the beginning of it. I forgot.
Nothing screams sabers like y'all ready for this.
Y'all ready for Binks?
Nothing screams Star Wars like our fan art for this
yeah,
show.
Yeah, baby. We got some good stuff this week. I am very, very, very excited to share with y'all.
What we got?
So Ellie Texas Red Rose on Twitter sent us a very fun piece of fan art from the Yusa Make a Move reveal. It's a nice picture of Jar Jar dropping the hottest album Naboo has ever seen. It's just his big speech. So thanks to Ellie. We also got an incredible watercolor picture of Darth Vader drinking like a strawberry milkshake and turning down an apple from Jar Jar.
It's incredible.
That was from Jacques on Twitter. It's absolutely delightful. So thank you to Jacques. Devin H. is in trouble with the government for posting not only a Jar Jar Imperial propaganda poster, but then defacing it with P. Yusa. So, Devin, you will be getting a call from the Imperial Office of Public Decency to explain yourself.
Astonishing.
Last but most certainly not least, Wilhelm E. on Twitter gave us an incredible... Do you guys know that Pablo Escobar meme where it's like Sad Pablo from
yes,
Narcos?
Yes.
He did that, but it's with Vader just like pouting. And it's like, I used to wear hats. I used to eat fruit. So I used to have the option to pee. And it was very, very funny.
That's so good.
Thanks to Wilhelm. And thanks to everyone for sending us fan art. You can check it all out at twitter.com/RJStoryBreak. Or you can join the discussion over at Facebook at bit.ly/StoryBreakFB.
You can check us out at MaximumFun.org. It's our podcast network. Head on over there. Find all the other great shows. The only other great podcast out there. Every other podcast is bad except for the ones on MaximumFun.org, which makes us a good
Even
one.
Even our other podcast that isn't on Maximum Fun is fucking garbage. Don't listen to it.
Terrible compared to the fine wares on display over there. Chad L says this podcast. We will see you all next week. My name is Freddie Wong.
I'm Will Campos.
My name is Matt Arnold. And signing out would be so much easier if podcasts had a little knob that I could just like.
They do. It's roll. Called your volume
they
knob.
They do. It's called the fader knob, baby. Here, everyone, let's turn off our faders at the same time. Ready?
All right. Everyone, do a live fade. Goodbye.
Hey, everyone. See you later. This is Freddie fading out.
Have a lot of problems.
How do you juggle your holes at the library?
Well, how do you decide what to read next?
What do you do when you find out an author you love is a huge trash baby?
I'm Bria Grant.
And I'm Mallory O'Mara.
And we're the hosts of Reading Glasses.
We're here to solve all your reader problems and along the way, help you figure out
your reader wheelhouse,
which are the things that will absolutely make you pick up a book. Our listener favorites tend to be magic and a woman on a journey.
And also birds for some reason.
Your reader doghouse.
Yeah, that's the things that'll make you avoid a book.
Ugh, love triangles stress me out so much. Reading Glasses.
Every Thursday on MaximumFun.org.